Good morning and happy Mother's Day to you all. If you look closely at what I'm wearing, it's got my mother's picture in it, just to remember her. Yeah. Whether your faith is strong or weak, whether you come from another faith community or not, we are glad that you have come today. Please sign the registry, if you will, book, and then at the back of the sanctuary and join us for refreshments following the service. We are all God's people. Here we all belong. May this morning be a time of compassion, community, and hope.
Today we give thanks to God for the gift of mothers and the mother-like nurture that many people show to others in their lives. Isaiah the prophet wrote that God is a mother to us, comforting us and carrying us in her arms. From Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah also wrote that God would never forget us. He knows each of us like a mother knows her own children. Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child he has born? Yet she may forget. I will not forget you. David wrote that in God's presence he was quiet and at peace, trusting his mother God like a child safe in loving arms. But I stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Jesus spoke of himself as a mother, longing to wrap his arms around us, like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. O Jerusalem, Jesus said, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Paul, writes about his missionary ministry and likens the work that he has done to a nurse who looks after those in her care. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Today we celebrate mothers and the motherhood, the mothering nature of all who care and show compassion to each other. Today we celebrate the joy of love and compassion. Let us worship God. Let us join together in our opening hymn of praise, All Creatures of Our God and King. Today, or right now, is that time in the service today in which each Sunday we take time to celebrate and to give thanks to God for the wonderful celebrations that are in our lives, but also sharing with each other and sharing with God before the love of God, the concerns and the cares that we have. Yesterday, in this place, right here at the front of the sanctuary, we had the wedding ceremony of Brittany Marshall and Sean Hayes, a wonderful time together, and a number of people from the congregation were also present at that time, a great celebration of love, a beautiful time together. Other celebrations include the birth of a little baby boy whose name is Xavier, and Xavier is the grandchild of Gary and Sylvana Kierstead, and so Gary and Sylvana are now bragging that their grandchild is the most beautiful baby in the entire world. And of course, for a short time, we all agree. Cassidy Okopniak turned 18 yesterday, and so our thoughts and prayers are with the Okopniaks, and we celebrate that with them as well. We also remember those mothers who have passed away, and Claire told me that today, 34 years ago, her mother passed away, May the 13th, 34 years ago. But that also reminds us of our own mothers who have passed away in various months of the year, various numbers of years ago, including my own mother. And our thoughts again, Bob Maxwell, Christine, who died just a short month ago, and this is their first Mother's Day without Christine, and so our thoughts and prayers are very much with them. We also think about the strong women in our lives, sisters, aunts, neighbors, friends, grandmothers, some who are still with us, some who have shown us the incredible power of compassionate love, and some who have gone before us as well. And so our thoughts and prayers are with each and every one of you who have suffered the loss of a strong woman in your life. And our thoughts and prayers are with each other as we grieve, but also as we celebrate their wisdom, their love, their strength, their witness, their legacy of love and care. And we celebrate that they are with God. All of these things are both our celebrations and our concerns. Are there any others that people would like to talk about today? Anybody? Any other celebrations or concerns? We celebrate that Tom is here, together with Zoe and Kate and what's his name? Wow, it's so wonderful to see him. Okay, Lucas, that's his name, and none of you helped me. Lucas, it's so good to see you as well. So we celebrate all of you being here today as well. Let us turn to God as we turn to God in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Come, Mother God, come as an enfolding, nurturing presence. Come as steadfast love to hold us. Come, Mother God, come as an enabling and strengthening force. Come as tough love to let us go. Come, Mother God, come as friend and comforter, healing our wounds, walking our way. Come as wounded healer to make us whole. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to say together as we sing the Lord's Prayer. The mystery of God's presence comes to us in many different ways, sometimes as friend, sometimes as comforter, sometimes as father, sometimes as mother, sometimes as sister, sometimes as brother, sometimes in the mystery that is love and compassion. On this day, in your celebrations and in your concerns, in your joy and in your sorrow, may you experience the joy, the peace, the comfort, the presence that is our God. May God's blessings be with each and every one of you this day and forevermore. Amen. Once again, we are delighted that we have the choir who has worked hard. It's wonderful to see such a full choir this morning. They're going to share with us their ministry of music in the song called Special Moments. A wonderful, beautiful song this morning for us to celebrate, to enjoy, and to see in that song the beauty and the grace that is God. Let us now turn to a children's song, and the children's song, This Is the Day. As we're singing this song, could the children come forward for a children's story? This is the day that the Lord has made.
Well, good morning, you guys. How are you today? Are you doing all right? You know that it's Mother's Day today? Yes, a day that we're celebrating mothers everywhere and those who are mothers to us everywhere. I want to tell you a few stories about my own mom. Is that okay? Is that all right if I tell you a few stories? Some of the things that I really loved about my mom and some things that just drove me crazy. Did you know that every morning when I was your age, my mom, early in the morning, and I think it was so early in the morning that morning hadn't even started, okay, she would open the door to our room, turn on the lights, and she would sing, Rise and Shine, and it drove me nuts. Rise, if we didn't wake up, she'd come back 5 minutes later, Rise and Shine. And I still remember that, and it drove me nuts. I just, Mom, leave me alone. You ever had moments like that where you want to say, Mom, leave me alone? You ever? No? No, you guys are much better kids than I ever was then, right? That's one of the memories that I have about my mom, but that's not the strongest memory I have about my mom. You see, my mom was a loving and caring person, and I remember two things. One time when I made her cry. That's a strong memory that I'm not very happy about, but I remember it. My dad was a carpenter, and he had built this beautiful table, this beautiful coffee table. It was about this high, and it was about as long as you are, and about this wide. It was a beautiful coffee table made out of mahogany, strips of mahogany. And when you turned it upside down, it was a great go-kart. It was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal. So my brother and I would take turns. I would either sit on the table turned upside down, and he would push, or he would sit on the table turned upside down, and I would push. But the house that we had had nails that were popping out of the wood. And so when we pushed this go-kart, which was my mom's prized coffee table, around, we created great big gouges in it. And when my mom saw it, she cried. You ever feel, you know what it's like to make your mom cry? Ugh, it's not a very nice feeling at all. And so sometimes when I think about my mom, Oh, it's hard because I made her cry. But there's another very powerful memory that I have about my mom. My mom didn't put up with much. She wasn't afraid to discipline us and wasn't afraid to tell us when we were wrong, because that's what moms do, right? They say, no, you can't do that. And I can remember her saying, and she would sometimes, when she called me Martin John, I knew that I was in trouble. So one day, and I can't even remember what it was, she said, Martin John. But what she thought I had done, I didn't do. It was one of the few times in my life that I was actually innocent. But I got in trouble anyhow. And then afterwards, later on that day, my mom discovered that she was wrong and that I hadn't done what she thought I had. And you know what she did? She came up to me and she said, Marty, come. And she literally picked me up and she put me on her knee and she said, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm very, very sorry. And that's the day that I understood the power of forgiveness and comfort and a deep sense of love. So I have so much to be thankful for about my mom. She was a beautiful, beautiful person who sometimes drove me nuts. Rise and she still said that the next morning, rise and shine. But now I wish that I could hear rise and shine from my mom. Even one more time would be so beautiful. So today we celebrate our moms, and we know they're not perfect. We know that sometimes they make mistakes, and sometimes they're grumpy, right? But they love us, and they care for us, and they want the best for us, okay? Let's just have a prayer thanking God for moms. Gracious God, we thank you for our moms. And sometimes we know, gracious God, that they love us so much, and sometimes they're grumpy, and sometimes they don't seem to have very much patience, and sometimes they don't understand. But gracious God, help us to know that they love us and care for us, and help us to know that behind their love is the love that you have for us and for all of them, for all of our mothers. And so bless us today, gracious God. Enable us to celebrate and give thanks to you for mums, for love, for compassion. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can head off with Heather, and she's going to do something together with you in church school, okay? So our scripture reading this morning, a beautiful, beautiful passage from John's Gospel, perhaps one of the most beautiful, tender moments that we can read in the Gospels about Jesus. And at verse 6, we're almost interrupting Jesus as Jesus is praying. And he's praying for the people. And the commentators say not only for the people of Jesus' time, but for all of us as well. John, when John wrote this passage, the context is the struggles that the disciples are having, knowing that things aren't going to turn out the way that they had hoped, that Jesus was heading towards his own death. And so there's a prayer that reflects the concern that Jesus has for his own disciples at that time. But when John is writing this, it's about 90 years AD, and so by this time, the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the early church is trying to figure out who Jesus is in the context of the pain and suffering that they're experiencing in 90 AD. And so this prayer takes on that context as well, of John trying to help the early church to see the power and the presence of God as we experience it through Jesus. And of course, for us today, we also interpret this prayer as God being with us in the power of Jesus' love for all of us, here and now. God, like a mother, nurturing us. So listen to this prayer and enjoy the prayer of Jesus for his disciples, for all of us.
I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, you and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in the name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except for the one that destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you as I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. As you have sent me to the world, so have I sent them to the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. This is God's message of hope. Thanks be to God.
Perhaps some of you remember the movie from almost 20 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. You remember that movie? Incredible movie. Gus, the father, thought everything that was important in the world was Greek. Everything had a Greek origin. I remember one of the scenes in which Ian, the fiancé, who turned out to be the fiancé of Tula, remember Tula? Ian, on the wedding day, had a pimple showing up, and the father, Gus, said, here, use W5, or Windex, that's what it was, Windex, yes, because Windex, a Greek product that cures everything. It was an absolutely delightful movie, absolutely delightful movie. But I also remember that at the very beginning of the movie, Gus was having a lot of difficulty with Ian, because he was afraid that Tula would not be taken care of properly unless she married a fellow Greek. And Ian was far from being Greek. Ian was referred to as a Xeno. Do you recognize that word at all? A Xeno. The English word xenophobia actually comes from that. The outsider, the foreigner, xenophobia, the fear of those who are different than us. Gus is right. Some things have their origin in Greek culture, and the word xenophobia is one of those. So Ian was xeno. He was the outsider, he was the foreigner, and because he was the outsider, because he was the foreigner, because he was different, he was not to be trusted. And he was not good enough to marry his daughter. And the beautiful story in my big fat Greek wedding, is how Gus was able to be transformed. But we'll talk about that a little bit more. That whole concept of the foreigner, the outsider, the one who is the other, very, very real in ancient society and, unfortunately, also today. In Jesus' time, the Jews thought that everybody else who was not a Jew was a Gentile. And the word Gentile sometimes was referred to as the word dog, the outsider, the foreigner. In Roman society, which is very strong at that time, anybody who was not Roman was referred to as a barbarian. So the outsider, the one who is different, was referred to as less than the one who was included. And we see that in our own society as well, and we see people who are referred to as the outsiders, the immigrants, the foreigners, the people who really don't belong. We find that in our own culture too. Today I want to explore a little bit about how still in our society, mothers are considered to be other. It's hard for us to consider that because we all love our mothers, but I want to explore that a little bit. First of all, just a few words about women in general. In our society still, there is what we refer to as misogyny, and I think all of you would recognize that. In some cultures, and certainly in our culture, even more so years ago, but still today, there is a disdain or a hatred of women. Upon women, we pile all of the things that are wrong. We say that it is their fault. And certainly, that has a connection to our Judeo-Christian tradition. When John was writing these words of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus, there was also the writing just shortly afterwards of the book of Revelation. And in our Bible study, we've been talking about this. And in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, Rome, built on seven cities, is referred to as the whore of Babylon, sitting on seven cities. And we wondered, where does that come from? And it actually comes from the concept of the Old Testament tradition of God being the groom in the relationship and the people of God being the bride in a relationship. And the prophets explore that kind of imagery over and over again. But unfortunately, within our society, we miss the imagery, i.e., the whore being all of God's people who have turned away from God, and we take the imagery more literally, that it is women who are the problem. And that unfortunate reality continues to be part of our society today. For example, the events of just a few weeks ago, Alec Manassian, who was very angry at women because they did not want to have sex with him. And he felt that that was their fault. And it betrayed that still strong sense of misogyny that is part and parcel of our society that needs to be addressed. But I want to talk a little bit for a moment about Alex's mom. I don't know how many of you recognize that Alex's mom had reached out long before the incident of a few weeks ago, saying, "My son needs help," and he got no help. And I want to talk about that for a few moments, because in our society, another way of the othering of women, particularly mothers, is to call mothers super moms. Super moms who are supposed to be able to do everything. Super moms who are supposed to be totally responsible for the upbringing of their children. Supermoms who are responsible if their children don't turn out the way that everybody thinks they should. There is so much pressure put on mothers, and I believe it's a way in which we objectify motherhood. And we turn motherhood into something that is supposed to be even more than human. They're supermoms, kind of like superheroes. And when supermoms fail, society is quick to pounce and to blame the moms. How many of you have been part of conversations about Alec Manassian saying, where was his mom? Where was his dad? Why didn't they address this? Well, the point is that Alec's mom, and I understand Alec's dad, tried to address this, but they got no support. Society seemed to turn a blind eye. See, moms have this incredible role, this incredible expectation in our society that they're supposed to do everything, not only as mothers, but also as daughters. I remember when my dad passed away just a few years ago, society and also my brothers literally expected that it would be my sisters who took care of my mom. That's part and parcel of our society. Right or wrong, those are the expectations of our society. Mothers are caught in this sandwich generation where they are fully responsible for their children, but they are also responsible for their aging parents. And in our society, it is women who are given that role. Almost without thought. It's as if women have these supernatural tendencies that they can handle all of this and men don't have to worry about it. Well, from my perspective, that is also part of the othering of women. It is holding women to account in a way that men are not held to account. We had an enjoy group the other day and we were talking about relationships, and we were talking about mothers and fathers, and we were talking about family connections. And interestingly, as mostly the women who were there were talking about their parents, they talked in glowing terms about the comfort, the care, the nurture, the support that they got from their mothers. And then someone in the group said, oh yeah, Dad? Yeah, he was there. And everybody else did the same thing that we did. We kind of laughed and we agreed. But you see, that's part of the othering. Because for us to be truly human is to recognize that all of us are responsible for the care and nurture of both our children and our adults, not just mothers, not just women. And so on this Mothering Sunday, we are called, I think, to recognize how much stress and expectation unfairly we put on the women of our society. Did you ever notice that Jesus had incredible relationships with women? He didn't say, oh, you poor women, come and I will befriend you. He didn't minimize women. He actually saw women as fellow human beings and invited them into the beauty of relationship with himself and with God. So much so that the Apostle Paul, actually picking up on that example of Jesus, would later on say, in Christ, there is no Jew, no Gentile. There is no slave, no free. There is no male, nor female. See, Jesus had this capacity to see not a woman, not a man, but to see a human being. And on this Mothering Sunday, we're called to recognize that women are human beings, just like the rest of us. They're not superhuman creations. And we're called to be in union with each other, male and female, as we struggle with the challenges and difficulties that we all face in this community. Coming back to Alec Manassian's mom, months, years before the incidents of a couple of years ago, she had reached out. My son Alec needs some support. And those prayers went unanswered. As a society, we have failed women. I think it's important for us to recognize that. But Jesus' prayer is one that helps us in that regard. As Fred Craddock says about this prayer, it's almost like we are overhearing another conversation. We are hearing a conversation that somebody else has had, and in that overhearing, we see things more clearly. This is a prayer. These are words that Jesus has with God. And we are overhearing the conversation. We are listening. And in this prayer, Jesus is helping us to recognize that there is incredible unity when we lean into God. The word that the Apostle John uses is to abide. Abide in me. The word that I like to use is lean. When we lean into God, we actually recognize that we can't do things alone. When we lean into God, we have to come out of ourselves. We have to come out of our own expectations, our own capacity, our own ability. We have to lean into people who are around as we lean into God. And Jesus is saying, my hope and my prayer is that they will find, that they will experience the unity, the oneness, the connection that I have with you, God, and the unity and oneness that there is in each other. You see, that's our task today and every day. When we literally recognize that we can't do things by ourselves, that we need each other, that breaks the barriers of the expectations of supermoms or super daughters. Because then we recognize that even supermoms and super daughters can't do it themselves. That they need the support and the care of family and friends. They need the support and the care of a community of like-minded people. You know, in our society, going to church, and I celebrate that you are still going to church, but going to church is less and less popular. I think we're down to about 16 or 17% in Canada of those people who go to church. Most people have given up on the church. I don't want to get into that today. Lots of good reasons why people have given up on the church. But, society, I think, has also thrown out the baby with the bathwater. Because there is a sense in which when we gather together, when we confess together our need for each other and our need for God, we open ourselves, we are vulnerable enough to lean not only into God, but to lean into each other, to offer support to each other, encourage each other, and we find that sense of unity, and I dare say we find that sense of joy that we are all looking for. That's what Jesus is talking about. To follow Jesus
is not only to be kind and compassionate and caring and loving. To follow Jesus is to abide in God, to lean into God, to find strength in the mystery that is God, to find strength in the mystery that is God as we experience God one to the other in our relationship. So my prayer, like Jesus' prayer, is that on this Mothering Sunday, you will recognize that mothers and those who take on the role of mothering, whether they are mothers or not, need help, need support. They cannot do it alone. And when we think they can, that is when we have turned them into objects. That is when they have become the other. Getting back to Gus in my big fat Greek wedding. He had some kind of rationalization, as I remember the movie. Scottish people, in some way, had connected with Greeks a long time ago, and in some way they were the descendants of Greeks, and some of the Scottish things actually came from Greek origins. So Ian was not Zeno, but actually he was Greek. For us, the othering is found not in that we're all Greeks, but in that we are all children of God. And God, through Jesus, calls us to lean into each other, to support each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to find joy in our relationships one to the other. And in that joy, find strength to deal with the challenges and the difficulties that we all face. So on this day, I give thanks to God for mothers and those who take on the role of mothering, whether they are mothers or not. And I pray that together as a community, we can mother each other. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us now respond to the word of God in the song, Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. Let us turn to God in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, as a community, as people who try to follow your Son, even Jesus the Christ, in word and in deed, who try to lean into you, we take time to pause and to give thanks for the gift of mothers and for the gift of mothering, that both men and women may be able to offer. People who shine a light on that gift, gracious God, also enable us to see the shadows that are behind that gift. We celebrate and give thanks, each of us, for our mother, for the woman who carried us in our womb, who gave birth to us and brought us into life. But we also recognize, gracious God, that our mothers weren't perfect, that none of us are. And we lament, gracious God, the separation from our own mothers at different times, through conflict, distance of place, or death. And we seek your healing grace in the relationships that we have with our mothers. We celebrate and give thanks, each and every one of us who have been as mothers to others. We give thanks for aunts and big sisters and friends and mentors and teachers. We give thanks for the women who have nurtured and taught us, encouraged us, and shaped us with love. But at the same time, gracious God, we lament, each of us, both the men and the women who have caused us pain, who have abandoned or neglected us, who have mistakenly or intentionally caused us harm. And we lament, too, on this Mothering Sunday, the hurt that we have caused to women or to men, to our friends, to our colleagues, our neighbors, our sisters, our brothers, our aunts, our uncles, even our own mothers and fathers. And we seek your grace, your presence, and your forgiveness. We celebrate, too, and give thanks together for women in our communities, the men and the women who invite us into partnership, who invite us to share the burdens and the joys of life. We thank you, gracious God, for the strengths of women, for their gifts of peacemaking, of nurture, of education, of entrepreneurship, of healing, of wisdom, of creativity, of endurance, of collaboration. So much there is to be thankful for. But we also lament that in our society women are still discounted simply because they are women, in our culture and in the culture of others. We lament that there is still a difference seen between men and women, that sometimes women are seen as not as good, or threatening, or competitive. Sometimes, gracious God, our heart aches at the unfair treatment of women in our society and the misogyny that is still part and parcel, hidden deep within the psyches of our minds and in our society. We lament all of these things, and we seek your grace. We celebrate those of us who are mothers and grandmothers, fathers and grandfathers. We celebrate the joy and privilege it is to collaborate with you in the creation of life. We give thanks for our children and our grandchildren, their uniqueness, the delight that we find in watching and helping them grow. But we lament as well for those who are not mothers and not fathers, but want to be. We lament, too, for mothers of children who have died. And we lament, too, for mothers of children who have done unspeakable things. We remember and lament, too, with Alec Manassian's mother on this day. And we pray, gracious God, that mothers are not left to do it all themselves. We pray that we can see the joy of doing things together and not expecting too much of any one person. We celebrate and give thanks for you, our mothering God, whose wings enfold us like those of a mother hen, who gives birth to all that lives, who loves fiercely, protectively, and with great delight. And we celebrate that we know of you as like a mother. Thank you, gracious God. And here, help us to hear your invitation to come now under your wings of love, to come into the warmth of your love, to know, gracious God, that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we are the precious children, all of us, of you, who we know as both mother and father. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us now respond to the word of God and the giving of our offerings. The offerings will now be received. Gracious God, in this moment, help us to be aware that you gift each and every one of us with the gifts of compassion and care and love, that you give each and every one of us the gifts of mothering to some degree. And so help us, gracious God, to be mothers one to the other and use these gifts so that we can mother and care for with compassion and grace all of those in the community around us. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, Happy the Home Where God Is There.
power of leaning into God is the power of recognizing that we cannot do things alone, that we need each other, that we need something stronger, bigger than we ourselves. Leaning into God is perhaps the most humbling and the most powerful thing that we can do, because it truly unites us to one another. So go from this place on this Mothering Sunday ready to lean into each other for support, for encouragement, to lean into God for strength and for compassion, to mother each other, as is our call as people who follow Jesus. May the blessings of God, the rich grace, forgiveness, and peace of God be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.